Well, hello everyone. This is a video I've been wanting to make for a while, and I was happening to watch a stream of Ed Dutton's because my buddy Mark was on, and he said he got into a bit of an argument with this other guest over Restore, quote unquote, splitting the right or splitting the vote on the right. And I listened to it, and I'll play a clip in a second. It hit on one of the things that I've mentioned time and time and time again, which is this idea that in order to win elections, parties of the right wing, need to do triangulation. Okay, now triangulation is the strategy of the man Tony Blair. Tony Blair figured out that if you're a left-wing party, if you're Labour, you can't win by being left-wing. You have to appeal to conservative voters. You have to come to the centre. Okay, so if you're Tony Blair, you can't. If you're Labour, you can't win by being a rah-rah socialism, rah, you know, all the left-wing loony stuff. You have to appeal to Daily Mail voters. You have to appeal to Telegraph readers, and so on and so forth. That was triangulation. Bill Clinton did the same thing in America. Hence, you get the kind of centre-left or the centre, the neoliberal centre. Okay. Now, I'm going to talk about why there is not actually a mirror image on the right, and how there's not a symmetry here between the right and the left. It's going to take quite a bit of explaining. I'm going to have to get into some of the weeds, some specifics of British electoral history, of British politics, how the whole system works, a little bit of psychology, and a few other things, and a bit of political theory as well. Hopefully it will be quite an illuminating lecture. Before we get there, though, let's hear what this guy said, so you know what triggered this whole video.
Raj could be absolutely incompetent. My point, the overarching point is, on the right now, with Restore, what you threaten to have is the exact mirror image of what always happens on the left. The Judean People's Popular Front takes over from the Popular Front of Judea. It's ideological purity at the expense of everything.
I don't know. I see it much more as Rupert is the only party offering the sensible position that is the standard position of basically every Englishman in England, pretty much, give or take like 20 to 30%, of which 15% is radical. So that's kind of where I see it. So I'm like, that's the centrist position. Rupert is the centrist position, maybe slightly to the right. And that's basically as far as I go with that. And everyone else has got to be judged against the barometer of that sense.
What he's saying he's going to do, there would be a mutant uprising. There would be an uprising of mutants, and there would be an uprising of mutant sympathizers within the civil service.
So you've either got to, the first thing to do is he's got past the media.
Okay, they're going into the weeds a little bit here. But let's see if we can go forward a little bit, because this guy has a little bit more to say. And this is ultimately what I'm responding to here. So just try to wind it on a little bit.
Issue. The media issue is we're going to shame and defame you, and it's the same with the insults. So it's like the word racist, for instance, gets thrown around, and that's obviously becoming complete.
I want to this guy to come back in. Hold on. There you go. He comes back in. Hold on.
So I would say I will give it 2 years to see where they're sort of at, and then you can evaluate 12 months out.
Even the Nazis, when they started to become significant, were drawing people over from the Christian Democrats or whatever, weren't they?
I'd still mark again. You haven't addressed the point, though. Whether you like it or not, there's the blob of the civil service. There's the whole machinery of government. Sure. The idea that any political party, no matter how much you want them, to be able to change everything overnight. I'm speaking from a place where I actually agree with the sentiment.
Yeah, sure.
In practical terms.
I'm trying to understand you here as well. Yeah.
Right. In practical terms, bad as they may be, and I'm not saying they're not for the thickos in the chat, what I'm saying is Reform are the only chance within a first-past-the-post political system with a 3-year timescale to achieve 1/100th of what most of the people in the chat probably want.
Okay, so
let's just leave it there. okay? So the number of different things to come back on and to address when I give my lecture in a moment. Before we get there, I have to remind everyone, pick up a course at the Academic Agency. The bestseller is The Trivium. There's actually a new course coming out on geometry. So it's out already. I will play the... There's an intro video and things. I'll play that soon. For now, I'll play the Trivium ad, and when we come back, we're going to talk about triangulation, the myth of the center, and I'm going to address some of the points that this gentleman made in Ed's stream.
Academic Agency.
All right, so let's get back to the matter at hand here. As I was talking about, the left, in order to win elections, as per Tony Blair, have to come to the centre. Why is that? Why do the left have to come to the centre in order to win elections? The fact is, the left have got a disadvantage in electoral politics. Why have they got a disadvantage? Because, as per the work of Jonathan Haidt in The Righteous Mind, they only activate one moral foundation as opposed to the six other moral foundations. You can put it in even simpler terms. The left are always selling a future that hasn't happened yet, a vision of how things could be in some mythical future time. They're driving towards some end goal. Whereas the right, generally speaking, is appealing to people where they are, okay? They are, i.e. things as they stand right now. The right always appeals to pre-existing prejudices, as Edmund Burke would call it, the pre-existing tastes and prejudices of the public as they exist. They don't actually have to change anyone's minds. They just have to tease out what people already agree with and appeal to those six moral foundations, some of which are things like, you know, law and order, authority, purity. You can read my book, Shakespeare's Moral Foundation. You can read Jonathan Haidt, Righteous Mind. It's all in there. And he says it's an absolute advantage for conservatives in elections. The other reason that it's not a symmetry here. So if you think about most left-wing ideas, to most normal people, before they've happened, they're lunatic. You know, the trans issue is the most extreme version of that. But many, many, many left-wing ideas throughout history have seemed lunatic to people before they've happened. So it's always a more difficult sell to sell something that hasn't happened or hasn't been accepted yet. Whereas if you're on the right, you're basically just people already think, okay, the thing that you're trying to sell. And when I was growing up, this was kind of known. Teachers, whether they're left-wing or right, they kind of knew this, okay? I mean, one of the things, it was like, well, why don't we allow direct democracy, okay? Why do we have representative democracy as opposed to direct democracy? And one of the examples they'd always give is like, well, the thing is, if we left it up to the public, they'd bring back hanging, which is interesting because Rupert Lowe keeps on saying that he's for the death penalty. And this is the taste, you know, Carl Benjamin always says, well, he's for bringing back hanging and so on. So what that tells you is that there's a kind of latent understanding that the public at large, okay, are actually to the right of what you're meant to think. That is how things have been in our society, in our liberal kind of, you know, Blairite world that we've lived in. The system is always trying to drag you to an artificially left place because left of their own devices, people are somewhere over here. There's all sorts of data that backs this up. They've done study after study. They do this thing called the British Social Attitude Survey, okay, where they find consistently, again and again and again, the public are on social issues, not on economic issues. On economic issues, they tend to go more socialist or welfare or big government. Okay, but on economic issue, on social issues, they tend to be right. Okay, they tend not to be socially permissive. They tend not to be for degeneracy. They tend to be against mass immigration. The numbers on that are overwhelming. Okay, in 1968, when Enoch Powell gave that speech, he had a huge amount of the public with him. Gallup did a poll in that year, in 1968, and 95% of the public in 68 said there's too many immigrants in Britain. That was in 1968. In the 80s, the percentages were above 80% consistently, okay? And moving into the current year, it is still the biggest issue. There was a, now, in the for the interests of accuracy and fairness, okay, after Brexit, there was a bit of a dip. There was a bit of a dip in concern about immigration, but that was because people thought that by voting for Brexit, they're going to deal with the issue. They had no idea that Boris Wave was around the corner. Boris Wave blew that out of the water, and now it's everybody's number one concern again. Okay, so the point is, we're coming. If you think about it, it's not a symmetry. It's not a symmetrical situation. Basically, you think about an issue like trans. Basically, nobody in like, you're dealing with like less than 10% of the population, you know, want to support transgenderism. Okay, it is a niche, weird issue that the left decided to push. Whereas you're talking about upwards of 80%, 90% at some times of the public would prefer tighter controls in immigration, reduction in immigration, and end to mass immigration. Okay, so it's chalk and cheese. The left and the right are trying to do two different things. And we've got in America an almost perfect test case of this. Okay, Ben Shapiro, one of the people I detest, one of the people who, you know, has one of the worst track records of calling politics, consistently used this idea of right-wing triangulation. He said Donald Trump is going to alienate people in the center. Donald Trump is not going to be able to win by appealing to his base all the time. Donald Trump is not going to be able to bring the country with him, okay, because he's too right-wing. He needs to come to the center. He needs to be like a right-wing Tony Blair, right? He needs to do the triangulation. Whole book was written on this by Peter Hitchens called The Cameron Delusion. If you want to know why this has become conventional wisdom in wonk M25 Westminster bubble circles, it is because in 2005, Michael Howard went big on anti-immigration as his message, and he still lost to Tony Blair. Okay, he still lost to old Tone. And the Conservative Party drew the conclusion that the problem was they were seen as being too nasty after the Michael Howard campaign, and they needed to tack to the centre, they needed to triangulate, okay, hence the Cameron delusion. It was the wrong lesson to take, and I can go into the specifics if you want. That election in 2005 wasn't lost because Michael Howard went big on it, on anti-immigration. It was lost because basically he was up against a juggernaut, Tony Blair. I mean, being up against Tony Blair is basically like taking on Roger Federer at Wimbledon or something like that, or Lionel Messi in football. Tony was, whether you loved him, hate him, or whatever, was a beast in elections. Don't forget now, 2005 was after Iraq and he still won. But it also misses the specifics of what was happening. Don't forget, Tony Blair, in between 2001 and 2005, introduced the hostile environment. He had David Blunkett, you know, being a hard man Home Secretary. He had Charles Clarke and John Reid, and all these bruiser, kind of burly old union men saying, like, we need to get tough on crime. People forget about what New Labour was like. ASBOs and the hostile environment and 90% rejection rate on asylum and cracking down, and Blair going on TV and saying things like, yeah, there's a problem in the black community, actually. We need to sort it out. What was that? That was Tony doing triangulation to the point where it nullified what Michael Howard was trying to do in that election. Because Tony had parked the bus already on that side, He'd flanked them from the... That's the Tony Blair manoeuvre, the flank from the right. Now, you can't do that as a right wing party going up against a left wing party. You just cannot do it. You cannot, you know, I tell you what, we're going to be more gay than you. We're going to be more progressive than you. And you've seen how it's played out. You've seen every single thing that Peter Hitchens said in this book has played out, and he has been vindicated over and over and over and over again. And now we're here. Now we're in a position where we tried to zero seats and destroy the Tory party. Okay, and now they've, like rats on a sinking ship, they've jumped over to Reform, okay, thinking that we wouldn't notice that they're the same people. And now Reform are repeating the Cameron delusion again. They're tacking to the centre again. They're learning the long lesson again. Let's get back to Ben Shapiro and Donald Trump. Every step of the way, Ben Shapiro was saying, oh, no, you're going too far. You know, you need to tack to the center. You need to be like a Bill Clinton or something like that. Every single time, Trump didn't do that. He tacked to the right. He appealed to the right. Okay. In the last election, let's not forget, he said the Haitians are eating dogs. Between 2016 and 2020, he was compared to Hitler or called a fascist and a racist over and over and over again. He increased his vote up to 74 million, okay? And we may never know whether the 2020 election was legit or not. There's still question marks over it. If you can choose to believe that 81 million Americans voted for Joe Biden, okay, I see a statistical anomaly there that is unique in the history of American electoral politics, because when the incumbent increases his vote by 14 million, the challenger usually goes down. They don't also go up. So it looks very strange on paper. And I'll go to my dying grave saying there's something odd about the 2020 election. The point is, they spent 4 years throwing everything at Trump and his vote went up. His vote went up in terms of total number of people voting for him. And then, of course, he won again in 2024. And again, he won saying things like the Haitians are eating dogs. So he went to a place that was way to the right of where people like Ben Shapiro said the acceptable discourse was. And he defied every single political scientist and wonk and pollster and, okay, talking the same old shit about, you know, right-wing triangulation. Why? Why was Trump able to win? Because he was appealing to prejudices that are already there, that have not been allowed, that have been suppressed by, you know, a media and a system and a kind of a uniparty, you might say, that tried to police the boundaries of what was and was not acceptable. And if you notice, it tends to police mostly to the right, although they do also police to the left. They make sure that, you know, the commies stay in their cage, okay? They do contain to their left as well, as I've made videos on. But especially to the right, you know, the whole system, remember the Boomer Truth regime, the whole system is set up to protect John Lennon's Imagine and to use the always Churchill against the always Hitler. In this case, it was Donald Trump, okay? Now in this country, you could say it's Rupert Lowe. It's not really Hitler, of course. It's anything right-wing. Anything right-wing at all. Now, why are they so scared of the right-wing? Okay, they're scared because they know that the majority of people out there, just like my example with hanging, right, that the public would bring back hanging, they know that the people out there are to the right of the entire political class. Okay? Now, this is where people will get into, like, well, you know, how about, though, when this fringe party ran or this guy ran with racist views or this party over here ran, they didn't get many votes or they didn't win. But that is dishonest, isn't it? Because, I mean, there's two things. One, they're up against the two-party system, which I'll come back to in a second. And two, obviously those two big parties, Labour and Tory, have got money and media time and attention and backing and so on and so forth. They've got a lot behind them. Whereas those little fringe parties, you know, it's just like people working out their bedroom or they don't have a budget or they don't get on TV. So, of course, they stand no chance. You know, you can read the populist delusion. That's the absolute advantage of power against the, you know, against the disorganized mass. So those little parties are basically disorganized mass. Even when they get organized, like in the case of the BNP, there's a limit to how much they can do. And of course, all of the rest of the party will vilify all of the rest of the kind of organs of the system, will vilify them, Nick Griffin on Question Time, et cetera, which is gonna mean it's not a fair fight. They're not going to be able to have that. Okay. What we haven't seen in this country is, you know, that message being amplified on the level of a Labour campaign or a Tory campaign. Okay. I.e., it has not been put on the menu. But the people have not been allowed to have a say on that. In America, we do have a test case in Donald Trump. We've got three different elections, and he increased his votes. And you know, he won twice, and, you know, there's question marks over the middle one. But in the middle one, he had 14 million more than in the first one, after 4 years of demonization. So that's quite a nice natural experiment. That shows there's something to what I'm saying, and to what Jonathan Haidt said, and to what people like David Goodhart have said, that the political class, the elites, Christopher Lash in the Revolt of the Elites, that the mood and the tastes and the preferences of the public at large are generally over here somewhere, as opposed to the very soft liberal Westminster bubble M25 crowd. Okay. So that is why I think it is a myth that the right needs to triangulate to the centre. Let's just pretend for a second that Restore Britain had a decent budget. They had, let's just pretend that Elon Musk gives them, you know, so much budget that they have enough money, or that Rupert has got enough rich friends, okay, to give them a war chest as big as Reform's war chest or Tory Party or Labour Party. Let's just pretend that they have enough money, okay, to run all 600 seats, okay, and that they get TV time and that it's a fair fight. Let's just pretend a second. And it was put to the test. I think that you would quickly see that, given exposure to it, all the people who aren't online, right, or who don't pay attention to these things, or just watching TV, or there's the idea that the public would be clutching their pearls or their handbags and they'd be scared or something of Rupert. I don't think it would go like that. I think it would go exactly as it did in America, of people, Trump winning millions and millions and millions of people over, and just by going there and counterpunching. I think the same thing would happen here if it was a fair fight and you know, people were exposed to Rupert. That's how I think it would go. And again, you don't need to triangulate to get to the electorate that voted in the last election, because there's about 30% plus of the population who's just sitting on their hands at home, who don't vote. That's the other story of the 2005 election with Michael Howard. They wouldn't vote for Michael Howard. They didn't want to vote for Tony Blair. They just sat at home. Huge non-participation rate in that election. And, you know, all what Trump was able to do was tap in to the non-voter. Rupert could tap into the non-voter too. I saw even on my own videos people who'd never voted before. And Reform were on the ticket last time. Don't forget, Reform, you could have voted for Farage in the last election. So, yeah, I say that right-wing triangulation is a myth. It's a lie. You don't need to. You could just literally go all out. I mean, I don't say like all out high, I don't talk about goose-stepping or being a Nazi or something like that. I'm just saying, like, you can go to where Rupert's gone, you know, talking about the death penalty, saying he wants to deport, you know, do mass deportations and you're sick of the grooming gangs or whatever, and that will resonate with a huge amount of people, and including normies, including, like, women, including, like, all sorts of people will come on board, just as they did in America, okay? And given that we live in a world where we've had a decade of Trump at this point, it's not even that out of the question, especially because Rupert, unlike Trump, is not bombastic. He's not over the top. He's quite measured. He sounds quite sensible. So it doesn't even come with a clownery of populism either. You know, I still think the basic message will resonate with a lot of people. Okay. So that's why, that's one thing I wanted to say. Now, as to this guy's specific points about how could they get it up and running in 3 years, well, as I mentioned, it would take a decent amount of money, but Rupert's a rich guy and he knows, you know, surely he's going to know other rich people. The country's in a mess. Who knows what could happen in terms of getting the money? This is another thing. So the two-party system, the uniparty, the right versus the left, the Labour versus Tory, that kind of thing, that system was able to contain what was allowed to be discussed, right? If you go back to 68, when they kicked out Enoch Powell, or they didn't put him up as the leader, and then eventually he was kicked out of the party, that basically was an elite top-down decision not to put the option on the menu. You don't get Enoch Powell, you get Ted Heath. Okay, the option was not on the table. So the public was not actually given the option. It was managed at the elite level, at the uni party level, and they managed to not give you the option. However, in 2026, things have changed. They've changed partly because me and many other fellow patriots led the charge on zero seats, and we actively tried to destroy the Tory party. The purpose of zero seats was to put a massive dent in the two-party system. And let's not forget, reform represents a break from the two-party system. What these snivelling Tories have done is they've jumped from the Tory party, the sinking ship, into a new one, reform, hoping that we wouldn't notice that they're the same people. I.e. they're trying to put the two-party system back together. So the two-party system, as things stand, is damaged. It's damaged, which creates an opportunity. It creates a kind of unknown scenario. It creates a weird, because at the moment there's a question. The question being asked is, can reform take the place of the Tory party? Okay, we think they might be able to, but we're 3 years out from the election, as he was saying. So why couldn't it be restored? They've got 3 years to get up and running. Reform haven't been around that long. They don't really have the infrastructure. They're not a serious party. They're a kind of media organization masquerading as a party, as I've said many times. So it's not out of the question that they would be able to get this up and running. Stranger things have happened in the past, and we're not dealing with the normal state of play. Another big thing that has changed is that the grip on information flow and the importance of the sent of the media, of like BBC One and ITV and so on, is not as central as it used to be because of the internet. If the internet didn't exist, Reform Britain couldn't have been a thing. Okay, it's definitely been able to launch because of social media. And one of the big questions about this is kind of a real life social political experiment, if you want. One of the big questions being asked by Reform and by Restore and by us and by everybody is, are Reform going to be able to win by writing off the internet? Are Reform going to be able to win by attacking, with the likes of Matt Goodwin, writing off all of this online social media influencers, or all the people like me and Carl? Are they going to be able to win simply appealing to Granny in the bingo hall, watching Strictly Come Dancing, and I'm a Celebrity, get me out of here? Because that's what they've banked on. They've banked on getting boomers, bingo hall women, and writing off the online as a phenomenon. Okay. And the question is now being asked, are they going to be able to do that? In 2026, can you afford to write off all of the very committed people who talk about politics a lot online, who have tens of thousands of views, hundreds of thousands of views in some cases, millions of views in some cases? I don't know. It's an interesting question. So I hopefully that will answer some of the questions. It will take money. It will take organization. It will. But I don't accept this. The fundamental notion, the fundamental thing I want you to take away from this video today is that the idea of right-wing triangulation, that you have to moderate and come to the center, just is not true. It just isn't true. Who is the mythical middle voter? Who is that person? It is a construct. It doesn't exist. And that is why, I mean, think about it. Think that the experiment was tried with Cameron. That is why less than, you know, two decades after Cameron, we're in this situation now where the genuine, right, after years of them doing all of their dirty little tricks to try to keep them out, despite everything, the walls of containment are cracking. The walls of containment are cracking because this dipshit and all of the people who came after him ruined the country. So, all right. Let me know if you have any questions. I'd be interested to read the comments on this one, and I'll see you next time. Pick up a course, like I said, Trivium, the bestseller. Well, Foundations of Politics, that's a good one too. Get that one. If you like this video, be sure to like and subscribe. You can join the channel for thousands of hours of past shows in the archive and hundreds of videos. If you have any questions, you can leave a super chat or a super thanks, and I'll be sure to pick it up during my weekly office hours, which run every Tuesday afternoon. I also provide courses at the academic agency, which I encourage people to buy. Thousands of students now have taken the Trivium to improve their skills in writing, logic, and rhetoric. Just three of many courses available. Buy it now. But most importantly of all, friends, get out.